Welcome to worship today at St. Stephen's United Church in Qualicum Beach. It is a pleasure to have you worship with us. It is the second Sunday of Advent, and today we will be lighting another candle at the Advent wreath. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Grace to you and peace from God. As Advent people, we give thanks to the one who is faithful. Let us proclaim the wonder of the God who came, is coming, and will always come. In word, action, and with gentleness of spirit, we celebrate the advent of our God. We light these candles each week as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. Prepare the way of the Lord. We light the second candle in peace, the peace that Jesus, our Saviour, gives to the world. Prepare then the way of the Lord.
Peace is a ribbon that circles the earth.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, your vision of peace and wholeness comes to us in sweeping revelations and in tiny signs of hope. Kindle our hearts that we might be a hopeful people. Keep us from growing weary of waiting, lest we miss the glory of your appearing. Even so, come quickly, O God. Amen. And let's come together to the throne of mercy and grace, seeking God's hand upon us. Gracious God, it is never easy for us to confess our sins. There are the hurts we have caused to others, which we would like to forget. There are those we find hard to love, and so we don't try. There are people who live on the edge of our society, whose cries for help we are deaf to or ignore. Forgive us, God, who comes near to us. When we have lost our way, show us yours. Lead us in humility down the streets of your kingdom. Teach us your truth, so we might be able to live in the ways you've shown us through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Friends, listen, for this is good news. God's grace is wider than our wildest imaginings. God's grace embraces us as we are and where we are, and draws us out to be the people we were created to be. This all happens through the forgiveness, love, and mercy of God. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, and I'm reading verses 68 to 79. This is Zechariah's song. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Here in the church, we are in the midst of Advent. Today is the second of four Advent Sundays, and so we continue on today as we began last week, moving through this season that is marked by distinctive themes. There are four of these, one for each week. Last Sunday, it was hope. Today, our theme is peace, and joy and love are still to come in the next two Sundays. And all of this happens before we even get to Christmas Eve and the celebration of Jesus' birth. It's a very full season for us. Now, we're not quite at the heart of the Christmas story yet, but with this week's reading, we certainly are in the prelude to it. The events in this first chapter in Luke are all critical to this story that we know so well. Characters who are integral to the story of Jesus' birth, and in many ways to the stories of the rest of his life, are each moving into place in this first chapter of Luke. Each one is doing their own part to set the stage for Jesus' arrival. At Christmas, we often focus on how the Nativity story is full of such unlikely characters. Jesus, he was not born to affluent, powerful parents. He wasn't born into the centers of power, whether that was religious or political. His birth was only really noticed by a handful of people, and those were people pretty much from the edges of society. And in many ways, those humble circumstances are what make this story so incredible and also so endearing. These things remind us that if some grubby shepherds actually got to kneel before Jesus, then we too might be able to encounter the presence of God in the midst of our very humble, ordinary lives. But lest we pigeonhole God on this, which, by the way, is something that God generally tends to defy, lest we think that there was no one of any notoriety who had a part to play in Jesus' arrival, today's passage actually sets us right. Because the main character in this particular scene is not someone from the edges. Zechariah was a priest who served in the temple. He wasn't unknown. He was someone who was called upon to perform important and prestigious duties in temple worship. He was a devout, faithful man who loved and worshiped God with his whole life. And he was a man who, 9 months previously, had received his own visit from one of God's messengers, the angel Gabriel. Gabriel came to tell Zechariah that after years of trying and failing and praying and trying again, he and his aging wife Elizabeth were finally going to have a child, a son. Gabriel instructed Zechariah to name their son John, and he said that John would be someone special. He would be a famous prophet, and God would work powerfully through him, getting people ready for the Lord's coming. Many people would find their way back to God with the help of Zechariah's son John, the Baptist. Now, Zechariah was obviously astounded at this news. Perhaps he couldn't quite believe what he was hearing because he asked Gabriel, "How can I be sure of this?" Hot tip, it seems that when an angel tells you that something is about to happen, it's not generally a good idea to ask them to prove it. because of Zechariah's question, Gabriel actually took away his ability to speak and perhaps also his ability to hear for the next 9 months. Zechariah was given a strange kind of silent retreat in the midst of his own life. Well, fast forward through Elizabeth's pregnancy, and the promised son was indeed born. And when a mute Zechariah confirmed Elizabeth's instruction that their baby was to be named John, then Zechariah's tongue was finally freed. His speech and seemingly his hearing returned at once, and our reading for today records one of the first things he said. It's a psalm, a passage that we call Zechariah's song, but really it's probably best known as the Benedictus. It's a beautiful song of praise and thanksgiving to God for the ways that God was about to fulfill the promises he'd been making and repeating to God's people since the days of Abraham. So Zechariah was not someone from the fringes. He was a respected priest with all of the authority that came with that position. And it seems that for these moments at least, he was also a prophet, graced and gifted by God to foretell what was about to happen. I find myself wondering if Zechariah spent those 9 months of quiet actually listening for God. I suspect that he did, because he emerged from his silence overflowing with praise for what God was about to do in and through Jesus. Zechariah sang. He sang in sheer delight because he knew that God was doing exactly what he said through his prophets he would do. Raise up a Messiah from the house of David, and through that Messiah save his people from their enemies. He sang to his newborn son, declaring him to be a prophet, just as Gabriel had said, a prophet whose calling was to go before the Messiah, so people would be ready to receive him. Zechariah was inspired by the Holy Spirit to see and share what God was about to do, in and through his own son John, and in and through another son, God's son, Jesus. It was quite a recovery from being unable to speak for 9 months. He came out singing. In some ways, Zechariah's prophecy delivered after those months of silence was actually an enactment of a bigger story already underway. God sometimes did this through his prophets. He'd get them to perform some action, and that action was actually meant to represent a much bigger action that God was undertaking. So Zechariah had been silent for 9 long months, but then God freed him to speak. And for centuries, God hadn't spoken, at least not through his prophets the way people were accustomed to. It had been quiet. But now, in the same way that Zechariah was once again able to speak, only on a much bigger scale, God was about to speak in a whole new way. After a very long wait, God was finally about to fulfill those promises he'd made to Abraham, to David, and through all of his prophets. Now, because of Zechariah's prophecy, at least some people would have known that the arrival of the Messiah was imminent. After centuries of waiting, at least some people's sense of expectations were probably heightened. People expected God to act, to send another king like King David had been, a great leader who would free them and, in the words of Zechariah's prophecy, guide our feet in the path of peace. What does that mean to us? What is this peace that God promised through Zechariah's song? What is this peace that Jesus spoke of so often? Peace is actually a central concept in Jesus' Jewish faith, where it is spoken of as shalom. In Judaism, shalom is a greeting, but not in quite the same way as hello is a greeting in our modern English. There's much more depth to shalom. It's almost sort of a wish or a prayer or a word of blessing. It's a word that is almost spoken over you, with the heartfelt hope that you might truly experience this shalom. Shalom is peace, but it's not just superficial peace, nor is it just the kind of peace we pray for to come between nations and people groups, although it certainly does include that, but it's more. It's peace between people individually and collectively. It's related to wholeness or well-being, to its root word, which means complete or perfect. So this peace that God promised to guide us in is really a sense of complete well-being, of physical, psychological, social, emotional, and spiritual health and wholeness. This peace will come to us as all of our relationships are being restored and put right, as we come to know and believe that God loves us, each of us, unconditionally, always, and more deeply than we could ever entirely grasp. Real peace, this shalom kind of peace, comes as we stop trying to understand the incredible gift of God's tender love, and like a small child, just accept it and receive it every day. And this kind of peace comes as we live in that love and then dare to begin to see ourselves as entirely lovable, as we leave behind the shame and the guilt that lurk in the shadows and begin to discover who we really are. Precious, beloved, people God sees and God loves. And this shalom peace comes, of course, as we're changed by this love of God, and that starts to change and heal our relationships with others. Relationships among individuals, relationships among nations, and really all points in between. All of these relationships are interconnected, and as they heal, peace flows through them all. One of the well-known Christmas scripture passages comes from the prophet Isaiah, who actually lived 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah delivered God's message that to us a son is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Zechariah sang that the long-awaited Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, was coming. The one whose coming we are awaiting as we make our way through this Advent, the Messiah who was tucked cozily into that manger, that child is the one through whom God will finish his work of healing all that is wrong in this world and in us. He is the one through whom God's promised peace, this beautiful, perfect shalom, will come in fullness at last. Amen.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on hovering wing, the blessed angels sing. Hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their King, and the whole of world send back the song which now the angels sing.
Friends, as we pray together today, I invite you to pray responsively with me. When I pray the words, "Come, Lord Jesus," if you would please respond as we pray together and hear our prayer. So, "Come, Lord Jesus," and hear our prayer. Let's pray. God, the days are surely coming when all your promises will be fulfilled to your faithful children. So we pray. We pray for the church. We pray especially for our branch here, the people of St. Stephen's, that we might fulfill our promises to you and be forgiven all of our missteps and failures. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. In your time, O Lord, you will bring justice and righteousness in every land. So as we wait, we pray for our nation and all nations, that your peace would become manifest in every corner of the earth. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. In your kingdom, O Lord, you bring people, your people, strength and comfort. So with that promise in mind, we pray for the sick, the suffering, and those in distress of any kind, especially those closest to our hearts. We pray that you would heal all injuries, comfort all grief, and settle all wrongs. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. Your great works of redemption, O God, span the ages. We pray for those who rejoice this week, that they might be filled with joy and gladness. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. In the fullness of time, O God, you sent your Son to be born of our sister Mary, and his name was Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for your presence with us, and we pray that you might always be present with those whom we love but see no longer. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer. Come among us, O God, and hear our prayers, so that when your Son Jesus comes among us riding on a cloud and with great power and might, we might gather together at his feet to adore him. And for now, until that day comes, we pray together as he has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Dear ones, we thank you again for all the ways you give to the work of God here at St. Stephen's and in the world beyond. Let's pray the offertory prayer, blessing all these gifts back to God for his purposes. Accept, O God, this money offered, these gifts given, the will of our hearts, that disappointment may be turned to hope, and worry may be turned to anticipation, as we await with wonder the birth of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I just wanted to come and give you a short update on the things the board has been up to over the past couple of months. And believe me, there is a lot more going on than just worrying about the finances of the church. However, on that note, let me once again thank you for your generosity and Christian stewardship as you showed in your response to the fall fundraising activities. Collectively, we raised just about $25,000, which is amazing, and which combined with other incomes has helped to reduce the deficit levels close to those that we had in the budget that we presented nearly a year ago. Each meeting, when the board gathers, we pray, say prayers for members of the congregation, working through the alphabet letter by letter and lifting each of you up to God for his blessing and care. This gives the board a great connection to God and as we start our meetings, and we hope that every now and then you feel a little lift from God as we're praying for you. We also speak to the God sightings that we've seen in our community, and again, this helps the board to have a clear focus on what it is that God is doing in our midst so that we can focus our ministry work in the areas of greatest need. The prayer team and the pastoral relations team play a very important role in this ministry in the wider church here in St. Stephen's. As the board was working through the various scenarios that you would want us to consider when facing a rather large deficit over the past number of months, we gained a greater appreciation for what stewardship really means. In our last board meeting, we started a discussion about how we introduce some of the Christian aspects of stewardship into our ongoing conversations with each other on the board and with each of you in the congregation. We had a great conversation and look forward to carrying on that discussion in the new year and bringing that conversation to you at the annual meeting in February. Yes, we've set Sunday, February 23rd as the date for the next annual meeting for St. Stephen's United Church. We will be bringing reports from each of the ministry teams to you, a new annual financial budget, nominations for board positions, and ideas around stewardship, and ideas again of opportunities for you to be involved in the life and the work of this church. Should be a great Sunday. If you have any interest in getting involved, please just talk to us. To get ready for the annual meeting, the board has started the process of reviewing all of the expenses and planning next year's activities and the resulting budget requirements to go along with this. Lots of thought and consideration going into this work by members of the board and those who work with them on the various ministry teams. I'd like to just say thank you to all of you who are doing this work. One piece that's already been completed was the work by your trustees to renegotiate our insurance coverage. They will report on this at a later date, but I can say thanks to their efforts, St. Stephen's will be paying less for our 2025 insurance coverage than we paid in the previous year. Your board's been engaged in leadership succession planning discussions. As with all organizations, there's a continual turnover of directors/elders for us here, and we're expecting that some of our elders will retire this next year. I just want to alert you to this situation and ask that if you're approached by an elder or by a board member, please consider getting involved. There's a great life and joy in helping to build the programs that reflect what God wants us to be doing here in Oceanside. Lots of interesting challenges coming up in the new year, including bringing forward a stewardship seminar, evaluating our Sunday worship services with our organist John Nelson's retirement. As well, we're looking at other areas of our worship and ministries to make sure we are being good stewards of the many gifts that God has given to St. Stephen's United Church. And as always, the board will continue to take those actions that make St. Stephen's the kind of place that anyone and everyone will feel welcome and safe as they come to worship God and feel his hope, love, and peace. Thank you for all you do to make this a great place to worship.
Friends, go in peace to love and care for one another in the way of Jesus. And may the power of the Holy Spirit make the rough places in your life smooth. May the dark valleys in your hearts be filled and the rugged mountains leveled, and the way of the Lord be made ready in you. And may he come unto you and bless and shine forth from you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
The birth of a child should always be the cause of great rejoicing. But how much more so when the child is none other than God himself, come to save his people from their sins. So come and join the dance.
Oh, come and join the dance that all began so long ago.
When Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
Through all the years of darkness still the dance goes on and on.
I'll take my hand and come and join the song.
Rejoice, 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 oh lift your voice and sing, and open up your heart to welcome him.
Rejoice, 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 and welcome now your King, for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
Come shed your heavy load and dance your worries all away,
for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
He came to break the power of sin and turn your night to day,
oh take my hand and come and join the song.
Rejoice, 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 oh lift your voice and sing, and open up your heart to welcome him.
Rejoice, 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 and welcome now your King, for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
Sing and joy be all around,
for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
And if you seek with all your heart, he surely can be found.
Oh, take my hand and come and join the song.
Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice,
oh lift your voice and sing, and open up your heart to welcome him.
Rejoice, rejoice,
and welcome now your King, for Christ the Lord was born.